let's begin with a little something about Saint-Saëns. He was considered a prodigy. Do you feel some affinity toward him in that way? Or is prodigy one of those horrible words that you don't like to hear?
It's a word that I try to avoid, but that's more my own personal thing. I think what I'm always fascinated and impressed by with Saint-Saëns is not just his prodigious ability, but also his prolificness, which I find quite stunning when you kind of look at it from a distance. I don't know if I necessarily feel a particular affinity with Saint-Saëns, if only because my own experience with, I guess, being called prodigious was actually pretty low-key at the end of the day, and I didn't feel like it really chased me around too much. But certainly there's something to be said for addressing that prodigiousness and that prolificness with this piece also, as it was written quite rapidly. It was written very quickly. And I think there's some of that energy in the piece. There's some of that spontaneity in it. And I think that that perhaps you could make an interesting link from that into prodigiousness.
And what do you find striking about this concerto, especially among his other piano concertos?
I feel like there's a spontaneity, a lightness to it. The work was written quite rapidly, quite quickly, and you can sense that in the work. I always like it when a work's conditions are evident, and I think that that's the case here. You know, you can hear briskness, you can hear kind of just moments of inspiration, and it's quite charming and it's quite exciting and it's really quite a pleasure to play.
Now, your last time with the St. Louis Symphony, you were almost literally a last-minute replacement to perform Prokofiev's Piano Concerto No. 3. What are your memories of that experience?
My memories of filling in last year are similar to my usual memories of filling in, which is just everything kind of being a blur. I think I probably got the call the week of the concert, which is these days what basically tends to happen. I just remember coming in, and there's always an interesting type of nervousness that accompanies playing and replacing someone. But also, it almost becomes a win-win situation because you're coming in, people don't know what to expect, and you kind of get to come in and just show them a good time, which is a nice luxury on some level as a performer. The one thing I do definitely remember and that I still feel coming back is excitement about working with David Halen, who's, of course, the concertmaster of the orchestra, because I have known David since I was 10. And we played in sections together when I was a student at the Aspen Music Festival. So it was just a really lovely sentimental experience to have David behind me and like just supporting me and, you know, in my corner. So that was lovely, and that still remains lovely. For me, I'm always so motivated really by working with people and the working relationships I have with people. And so that was something that sticks out.
You're obviously still very early in your career. What are you finding that you're enjoying that is kind of the most unexpected thing from the soloist life?
That's an interesting question. I don't know if anything has struck me as being particularly unexpected, probably because I've chosen to really, as they say, go with the flow of it. I've really tried to learn the rhythms of being a soloist and being a performer and being a traveling performer, I suppose, as I've gone along. I think, though, that what I mentioned about working with David is sort of something that's emerged. I guess on some level, maybe it's just me getting more in touch with what I love and what really motivates me when I'm working. A lot of the times I find my contentment with what I'm doing and just my mood level, I suppose, it's very contingent on who I'm working with. It's very contingent on those like interpersonal relationships. I love working with orchestras. I love working with even like just with orchestra staff. I feel like I love working with people backstage. I feel like it's those relationships that don't necessarily get highlighted all the time, but those are the ones that keep me, that are sustainable on some level and that keep me sustained, I guess. That's not so much unexpected as it's emerged and it's something I've learned about myself.
And while you're doing this, you're currently in a joint degree program at Columbia and Juilliard. Can you talk a little bit about what your student life entails?
Well, right now, I mean, my student life is a little bit less interesting because I've been taking this whole year off. I suppose actually one surprising development in my life as a performer, it links to my life and experience as a student. I've realized that I much prefer being in school at this point in my life. I think my guess is because school for me is a very grounding place, and it's a place where I can be around peers who challenge me in ways that I'm not challenged or am not actively challenged outside of school, I suppose. People my own age who do that. So I suppose it's just because university is a unique space in that way. But it's not just my university, it's just sort of who I've been fortunate enough to surround myself with. But when I am in school, my student life is, I suppose, unusual because I spend a lot of weekends away. I spend a lot of just time away. And so logistically, that presents some obvious differences and sometimes difficulties. But I will say my experience has been lovely. I've had professors that, by and large, have been supportive. I will say I think it's a good sign that the professors in those classes that I actually am very actively interested in have often been the ones who are most supportive. I feel like that's a good sign that my academic interests and my artistic interests are somehow compatible. And on some level, I also don't feel like my experience is that atypical necessarily, because I have many friends who keep themselves quite busy with various extracurricular things. And we all have our time sucks. And obviously, this is a specific one, and my friends have specific ones as well. But there are differences and similarities.
Can we talk a little bit about the Unplay Festival?
Sure, yeah, of course.
The Unplay Festival is something you did in Dumbo, Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. Last summer, it was at your 19th birthday.
Yeah.
Can you talk about a little bit about what it was?
The goal of the Unplay Festival, which I put on last year, was, I guess, to think of alternative ways of thinking about the concert context. And that's something that's very interesting to me, is just sort of expanding the concert context or questioning the concert context. So I wanted to highlight work that people were doing that I thought was approaching that or doing that or engaging with that. Each night sort of had a bit of a different narrative or interrogated a different aspect of the concert hall narrative. The first night was entirely composed of electroacoustic music. I titled the first night Ephemera because I have a love of terrible wordplay. Ephemera. But I was interested in sort of exploring how electroacoustic music in its kind of ephemerality at times, not all the time, but at times, how you could consider that an interesting response to the masterpiece culture of Western classical music and sort of that very rectilinear view of history, that kind of very specific understanding of artistic history. So that was interesting to me. And I wanted to think about work that reflected that. Also in practice, I mean, works that sort of used motion in surprising ways and in performance practice challenged notions of traditional performance. That was explored in the third night, which I called Herstories, which I suppose was sort of like a view of alternative histories, a view of thinking about how Western classical music has in some moments been a tool for social activism, or at the same time exploring works that fundamentally challenge the notion of what classical performance is. So, you know, whether or not that's performance art or more explicitly political works, it was an exploration of challenging narrative and engaging with narrative itself. I mean, narrative is an interesting thing to me in general. So that was the governing principle of these three nights of the festival. And it was a really lovely experience. It was a stressful experience. It was a big first for me as someone who hadn't presented really in any capacity before. Moving forward, I think my next goal is to do something on a smaller scale, something more intimate, something that really kind of just like aggressively centers the work and the people who are doing the work and kind of just goes into those spaces where this stuff is already happening and just kind of tries to facilitate it and tries to engage with it. And I suppose tries to continue making a place for it. That's very important.